it is midnight, so why don't we just take a moment just to wish one another a happy Christmas before we continue with the rest of our service. So, on behalf of Skylight Church, we want to wish you a happy Christmas. Do take a seat. Christmas and Conkers. What on earth do they have to do with each other? Well, our three-year-old daughter adores Conkers, and walking her to preschool every day in October, we would pass a massive horse chestnut tree, and she would just take such delight in finding the Conkers, treading, bringing out a shiny new Conker, and then placing it in her pocket or in my pocket or under the buggy or wherever she could find to place Conkers. I think I have a whole supply under that buggy of Conkers. And fast forward to December, the beginning of December, and I had gone for a walk in Highlands Park with her, and we were walking along, and it was no longer Conker season. And every time we passed that pathway to preschool, she would ask, "Mummy, why are there no Conkers anymore?" And so I would explain to her about seasons and how we were now in winter and Conkers come in autumn, and so we'd have to wait for a while for them to come round again. Anyway, we're in Highlands Park. We're walking along. It is super muddy that day. It's been raining. It's horrible. And I'm just trying to kind of get some fresh air and keep going. I have another daughter who's only 4 months old, and she was crying at the time. So I was just trying to keep a bit of momentum. And all of a sudden, "Mummy, Mummy," I hear this excited cry behind me. So I turn around, and she's rooting around in the muddiest part. It's squelchy, it's boggy, and she's got her hands in. I'm going, "Oh, Aria, no, please no, please don't. I found it." And out she pulls this Conker. My reaction: "Aria, it's dirty." And looking at it, it was broken. "It's dirty and it's broken. Just put that one back, darling. You don't need that one." Her response to me: "Mummy, it may be broken and it may be dirty, but I love it and it's my treasure." And she popped it in her pocket. Here's the thing. You see, the Christmas message is more than a cute baby lying in a manger. It's a message of unconditional love. And when the angels announced the arrival of that baby to the shepherds, they said that they had glad tidings of great joy. It was good news. What is the good news for us this Christmas, I wonder? Firstly, I think that God wants you to know this. He loves you. He loves you. But secondly, I think he wants you to know that he loves you despite your mess. You know, just as my daughter picked up that Conker and it was covered in squelchy, boggy, horrible mud, and it was cracked and it was gnarled and it was tarnished. Tonight you might be sitting here and you might be thinking, well, if there even is a God, he couldn't possibly be interested in me because I've made a mess of my life and there's mess and destruction all around me. You might feel that you're too dirty, too tarnished. But the great news about the Christmas story is this: we have a God who embraces us in the middle of our mess. Why on earth would the King of the universe choose to arrive to planet Earth in a dirty, horrible outhouse? The place where the animals lived. Why? He could have chosen anywhere to arrive, and yet he chooses that dirty, horrible, messy place. It's because God wants us to get the message that he loves us despite our mess. In fact, he embraces our mess. So whatever the messy parts of your life might be, don't be like me when I have Christmas guests coming and shove it into the nearest cupboard and hide it away. We all have those drawers, those cupboards, those rooms in our houses, but we all have those cupboards, those drawers, and those rooms in our hearts. And we think that if we just close the door quickly enough and show God all the great and good things about our lives, that he might accept us more readily. But the truth is tonight that he accepts us in all of our mess. So God loves you. He loves you despite your mess, but he loves you too despite your brokenness. That conker was completely cracked. It was the one that I would have discarded by the wayside. I don't know whether you feel overlooked tonight, whether you feel ignored, whether you feel broken. There's brokenness wherever we look on our planet, isn't there? Broken relationships, broken hearts, broken lives, broken systems. But you know what? This time of year, it heightens our sense of brokenness, doesn't it? I come from a broken home, and I know that for me, this time of year, every year, somehow highlights that brokenness even more fully. And 18 months ago, I lost my dad. This will be our second Christmas without him. And there's something about this time of year that just highlights that brokenness, that loss, that grief that I feel on the inside. Messy part inside of me. But you see, God loves broken things, and the hope contained within the Christmas story is this, that Jesus came to restore that which has been broken. There is nothing that he cannot mend, and there is no one that he cannot forgive. So God loves you. He loves you despite your mess. He loves you despite your brokenness. And to him, you are treasure. Just as my beautiful little girl saw that messy, horrible, hideous conker that I would have thrown back and placed it in her pocket, God wants to embrace you in the palm of his hand. He loves you. To him, you're treasure. And you may find that hard to believe tonight, but you see, 1 John 4 verse 10 says this. This is the kind of love we are talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us. He loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage that they've done to our relationship with God. So tonight, the good news, we can't earn God's affection. We'll never be good enough, and we don't have to be. All we have to do tonight in this place, if we want to see our lives change, is simply receive God's love. It's free. It's unconditional. Just make room for him. Just invite him in. Not into the clean, uncluttered bits, but into those cupboards, into our mess, into our brokenness, into our pain, into our flaws. Invite him to make his home in our hearts. So this Christmas, on behalf of heaven, may I invite you to receive the greatest gift ever given. The gift of Jesus Christ.